Now, this afternoon's play is a special edition of a 1950s classic, Journey into Space, Frozen in Time.
Journey into Space. The BBC presents Charles Chilton's Journey into Space with David Jacobs as Jet Morgan in Frozen in Time.
Spacecraft Alpha Romeo Echo Sienna. Are you receiving me? Over.
We copy you, Aris. This is Earth Savior Control. Your signal is weak. Please retune to Mars Relay on 2040 MHz to identify yourself and give us your position and status.
This is the British spacecraft Aris, returning from Operation Neptune. Our radio has been damaged, so transmission is poor. We're currently 26,800 nautical miles from Mars, bound for Earth orbit. There are four souls on board, and all is well.
Copy that, Aris. Please stand by for verification.
Flight computer, activate deep sleep unit.
Deep sleep control unit 3400 CVI. Pods currently operational. Occupants maintain any indefinite deep sleep pattern 3.
Estimate wake-up procedure.
Pod 1, Barnett, Lemuel, male, 29 years old, ship's radio operator, vital signs excellent. Wake-up time estimated at 17 minutes. Pod 2, active, Stephen Mitchell.
Yeah, Aris, we have a problem with this. Our records show that Aris' mission went missing over 30 years ago. Please advise.
Negative, Earth Savior Control. This is Captain Jet Morgan. We launched Woomera, South Australia on the 8th of June, 1973. If you call British Aerospace, they will confirm everything.
Sir, whoever you are, I must remind you that this is a restricted frequency and hoax calling is a federal offense. Britain is a financial services center. The Brits don't do space.
Listen, Control. I picked up that Savior 1 is having difficulty on Mars' surface. We could be in a position to help, but I need to get things organized up here if we're going to make a landing. We're desperately short of fuel.
Copy that, Aris. Stand by.
Captain, this is Lucas Wellbringer, president of the Earth Savior Corporation. Why have this right? You guys are able to execute a landing on Mars?
It is theoretically possible.
And do you have a fuel issue?
Correct. If we slow down and divert to Mars, we would not have enough fuel to take off again and get back to Earth.
Captain, we have an unresolved hardware failure at this time with our craft, Savior 1. We can't get everyone off and back home. We do have fuel on the surface.
Well, it sounds like we might be of help to each other.
Copy that. Please stand by, Captain. I'll be right back.
Wake up procedure successfully completed on pod 1. Pod 2. Attention, pod 3. Matthews, doctor, wake up procedure delayed. Further recovery work required. Vital signs unstable.
What do you reckon, Mitch?
I don't know, mate. Doc was fine when we all went into the pods.
Jack, can you hear me?
Yes, Lemmy, I can hear everything.
Can we exit the sleeper cabin now?
Might be best to hang on a bit longer, Lemmy, until we know what's happening with Doc.
How long have we got before we need to commit to the landing trajectory, Jet?
I need to set the entry coordinates and fire things up in about 20 minutes, or we'll miss the approach vector.
Life support on standby.
Life support? What does that mean?
It's just running the failsafe program. He seems fine for the moment.
As soon as the Doc is stable, I'm going to release the door.
What are his chances? He's going to be all right, isn't he?
Honestly, mate, I really don't know.
Pod 3.
The Doc would be the best person to answer that.
Sleeper condition stabilized.
Look, there's nothing more we can usefully do for Doc for the time being. He wouldn't want us to be standing around when the lives of others are at stake.
Attention. Pod 3. Deep recovery in progress.
Welcome back to the real world, gentlemen. I trust you slept well?
Like a baby.
I might drop off again in here. Why is it so dark? Are the solar panels packed up too?
The power's a bit low, so I've kept the lights off until things charge up.
No problem. There's enough background light from the instrument panel to find our way around.
Take a seat.
I can hardly see your hand to shake it, but here, Jet, put it there. 30-odd years since we left Earth, and you're still keeping us going in the right direction.
Our progress has been painfully slow. Considering the impact we took, everything's held up pretty well.
Well, apart from the aerial damage, the radio seems to be working after a fashion, so the batteries can't be too bad.
I've had a couple of problems with the air recirculation unit, but it seems all right at the moment.
Don't worry, I'll give it a once-over. Here, how come you got woken up first? You were in pod number 4?
There was a bit of a hiccup with pod number 4.
The radio batteries are showing full power, so what's up with the lighting then? Excuse me, Mitch, would you mind flicking that switch above your head?
Sure.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, that one's working fine.
Blimey.
What?
Like I said, there was a hiccup with pod number 4.
Glory be, Jet. When did the problem happen?
Not long after we left Neptune.
And you've been awake ever since?
No, I've had plenty of sleep, actually, just not as much as you.
You weren't in deep sleep suspension?
Not for more than a few weeks.
You've been running the ship on your own all this time?
There's been quite a bit to do.
Cripes. Incredible.
Amazing you didn't go stark staring crazy.
Well, I had my moments.
So, how old are you?
72.
But you're younger than me.
Was.
You were only 8 years older than me.
Now I'm old enough to be your fathers, both of you, so you better show some respect.
This is Earth Savior Control calling Eris. Please be advised that we have your landing coordinates.
Sorry, everybody. I'm a bit out of practice.
No worries, Jet. We're down safely, and that's what counts.
What's that?
I've never heard that one before. Hang on.
It's the sleeper cabin.
Doc's pod, we've got a malfunction.
I'm going in.
Hang on, Lemmy.
Status report, pod 3.
Attention, pod 3. Vital signs unstable.
Should we try and get the Doc out? Put him in one of the other pods?
Oh, the shock might kill him.
Pod eject sequence imminent.
What the hell's it doing, Mitch? Disengage the damn thing.
It's trying to eject the pod to avoid overheating and sending us all up in smoke.
It'll jettison Doc onto the planet's surface and that'll be goodnight Vienna. We have to try and get the Doc out.
Ejector
engaging. Give it a go, Jet. What do you reckon?
Flight computer, release sleeper cabin door immediately.
Equalizing temperature and pressure.
Let me grab that recovery bag.
Where are the diamond cutters?
Oh, they broke 20 years ago. Here, take this.
How do we get this thing open, Mitch?
Don't know, mate. We'll just have to crack the hinges, I guess. Here, mind out.
Oh, that's not even making a mark.
Yeah. Titanium bolts. Here, let me see if you can work that bar under the canopy.
Right. And we're going to have to get out of here before the pod ejects or we'll all get sucked out with it.
How does the eject system work?
Hydraulic, that ram. But we'll never stop it, though. It packs a punch like a steam train, Lemmy.
Mitch, hand me that chisel. I think I can get in under the hand.
Right. Any luck, Lemmy?
Oh, no.
Is that budging, Jet?
No, not an inch.
Alert. Pod 3 wheel auto jettison in 15 seconds.
Okay, that's it. We've got to get out of here in 5 seconds.
No, no, not yet.
Jet's right, Lemmy. We're out of time. The doc wouldn't want us to...
Is that cable the power for the ram?
No, Jet. It could short-circuit the whole ship.
Pull the plug, then it can't eject the doc.
Pod 3 wheel auto
pull it, Jet.
10 seconds.
Mitch?
Please stand clear.
Sort it. It's the only chance the doc's got. Pull the plug, Jet.
Oh, thank God.
Power failure.
We're not out of the woods yet, mate. This pod's vibrating like a road drill.
Please stand clear.
Watch out, Mitch. Stand back.
Damn. The pod's packed up.
Well, what about the dog?
Don't believe it.
We did our best for him, Lemmy.
And so close to getting home.
We'll take his body back with us.
That's not possible, Jet. Not with the pod out of action.
We can't just leave him here.
Oh. Guys, keep the noise down, eh? It's impossible to get any sleep around here.
Doc!
I don't believe it.
We had you down as a goner.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. I've never felt better.
Ninth of March, 2013. I could hear my fellow crew members trying to save me. At first, it felt like a dream and I was floating on the surface of all the commotion. Then, when I heard Jet's voice say they'd tried their best for me and all was lost, I forced myself back to consciousness. It seems as if no time has passed since we entered those pods and I made my last entry in this diary on the 10th of May, 1977. Only when talking things over with our captain and my old friend Jet can I see the passage of time mapped out in his face. Of all the many heroic things he has done in our service together, surviving and steering our ship alone whilst we remained suspended is the most noble. Indeed, as Jet spoke casually of that endless procession of days, it became clear that if he hadn't been awake, watching over us, carefully correcting our course and making constant repairs to our faithful craft, we would all have perished many years ago as we slept, frozen in time.
Quite an operation they've set up here.
It looks like they're engaged in some kind of mining in the side of that mountain.
Yeah, or have been. The place is deserted.
No, mate, it's still very much a working mine. Look over there.
Automated by the looks of it. I wonder...
Air surface vehicle, this is Savior 1. We have a visual on you. You're kicking up the dust about one click away.
Roger, Savior. We can see two red flashing lights. Is that you?
Negative, RSSV. That's a negative. Be advised, do not proceed in that direction. Look 10 degrees to your left, and you'll see our yellow smoke flare.
Where the hell are they? I can't see it.
Here, Jet, take my glasses. I don't really need them.
There's nothing wrong with my eyesight.
Okay, yeah, I've got it. Look, over there.
Roger, Savior, we see your smoke. We'll call on arrival.
Copy, ASC.
Watch out, Jet. You're going too far over.
Am I?
Shall I take it from here, Captain? Then you can prepare for our meeting with Savior 1.
Well, thank you, Mitch. I'll switch it over.
Mitch had a knack of handling Jet's physical decline just right. Jet was still Captain Jet Morgan, but there was no getting away from the fact that he was now quite a bit older than the rest of us. I, on the other hand, had emerged from deep sleep suspension feeling fitter and stronger than I had for years. The others all said I looked 10 years younger. Despite the malfunction, my experience in the pod had taken years off me. It became clear as we drew nearer to the base that the Earth Savior operation was extensive, highly mechanized, and without doubt commercial. Judging by the amount of equipment they'd set up on the surface, this was no scientific expedition.
Welcome aboard, guys. Step right in. This is our health and safety officer, Bo.
Welcome to Savior One.
And I'm Jensen. I handle the PR and media side of things.
This is our computer and IT officer, Astrid.
Hi there.
And I'm it.
Captain Jet Morgan at your service, and may I present Dr. Matthews of Space Medicine.
Hi. Everyone just calls me Doc. And I'm Lemmy, radio operator.
I'm the engineer, Mitch.
Are you from New Zealand?
Australia.
I'm from Hackney.
So, Mitch, tell me, how long have you been in space?
That's a very interesting question, you know, Astrid.
We all sat around for a while, chatting like we were at a space traveler's convention. Savior One was quite a bit bigger than Aris. Mitch and Lemmy were like kids in a candy store, looking around at all the equipment. Even to my untrained eye, I could see that things had changed beyond recognition. Bo, Jensen, Ed, and Astrid explained the problems they'd been experiencing with the booster rocket, and were amazed to find that Mitch was a trained engineer and spacecraft designer.
Well, we used to have engineers, radio operators, doctors, and captains and all, but nowadays we just have a computer tech, a PR, and media rep, and a health and safety officer.
Well, I'm relieved to find they haven't replaced captain.
Well, not the captain's role, obviously. That's still as important as ever.
And very much valued, though we tend to call them flight managers these days, as they also handle HR and keeping things on budget.
HR?
Human resources.
Oh, right, of course.
It transpired that the emergency that had brought us back to the Red Planet after all these years was another peculiar product of the modern world in which we now found ourselves. The troublesome booster rocket was apparently non-user serviceable.
Even if we did get the thing opened up, we wouldn't have a clue what we were looking at. It's just a maze of plumbing in there.
Does your onboard computer have a fault-finding program?
Sure. We can get a full status report on all the systems on the ship. It's displayed as a 3D animated wireframe, so you can zoom right in on any part.
So, what's it come up with so far for the booster rocket?
It's showing that there's a significant fault at this time and has given it a non-functional status.
That's it.
It doesn't give any indication about which component is faulty?
We do have a printout of the risk assessment.
It doesn't get into the technical side. Like Ed said, we wouldn't know how to fix it anyhow.
So, you guys want to take a look around?
Well, I'd like to very much, yes.
Whilst the others were gazing at the flight deck, Bo beckoned me to one side. She wanted to go over what she called some health issues.
I was the first to get sick, and now everyone seems to have it. Do you think it could be the drinking water?
Unlikely. You'd have all been taken ill months ago. I'll keep an eye on things, and if it doesn't clear up in the next 24 hours, I'll run some tests. Will you keep me informed?
Mitch came up with a plan to hook up the Aris computer with Savior One's to see if we could establish the exact problem with the booster. Although our ancient old system was vastly inferior, it did have a nuts and bolts fault-finding program which Astrid thought she could adapt for Savior One. I could see Mitch was dying to get his hands on all the new technology, and if he was able to repair the booster, it would be the best solution for all concerned. We needed to move Aris closer so we could link up the two ships. Much to the astonishment of the Savior crew, Jet achieved this very elegantly, flying Aris by hand. We touch down as smooth as you like, 50 meters from Savior.
Nice landing, Jet.
Thanks.
You haven't lost your touch? Did the glasses help?
Look, gentlemen. I appreciated the vote of confidence, but it's starting to tip the other way.
You've shown that other lot you don't need a computer to fly a spacecraft.
Yeah, too right, Lemmy.
You know, I've been thinking there's something about the setup here that doesn't add up.
How do you mean, Doc?
Savior One is loaded to the gunnels with that mineral they've been mining. If they had a weight problem, why the hell didn't they just unload some of it?
Jensen was telling me that it was a desperately needed energy source back on Earth.
Oh, what? Desperate enough for them to leave their own crew behind?
Now you come to mention it, the story did seem a little far-fetched about this threat of global warming. What did you make of it, Doc?
I agree. When we left Earth in 1973, scientists were warning us that we were heading for another ice age.
Yeah, and pollution was better than ever. Not like the pea supers we got when I was a boy.
Pea supers?
Yeah, that thick, clammy fog we got in London from all the coal fires. It used to hang around for days. Do you know, in the 1952 Great Smog, 104 people were killed in Croydon alone.
We can't expect to understand everything about the modern world or the Saviour crew in a single visit.
Oh, come on. The doc's got a point. There is something a bit fishy about them.
That's an opinion based on scientific deduction, is it, Lemmy?
That's not the point, Mitch. I think all this modern lingo and ideas is just mumbo-jumbo. It doesn't mean...
I find the whole setup here very impressive and highly professional. We've got a lot to learn from...
Well, I suggest we all keep our eyes and ears open. Mm. Don't take anything at face value. That can't do any harm. And tomorrow, while Mitch is hooking up the computers and looking at the booster, Doc, Lemmy and I will have a scout around. See what we can find out.
Right.
Data transfer, operating system, Unix BSD, translator supplied by host. Okay, Astrid, can you select cable link from the network menu?
Copy that, Mitch. It's currently warning that a third party is trying to guess my system.
Yeah, that's fine. Your computer will need to be the host. It'll be able to translate things better.
And manage the data exchange?
Exactly.
Yes, that's not a problem. Stand by, Mitch. I just need to do a couple of things this end.
Crystal, whilst you're running the diagnostics, I need you to download the operating instructions for Aris in the background. Can you do that for me?
Yes, of course, Astrid. That won't be a problem at all.
And when you have that information, you will be able to fly Aris.
Yes, that would be a straightforward remote operation for me, Astrid.
And what about the permissions? The crew won't be able to stop you.
I can lock them out, Astrid. Please don't worry. I have everything under control.
Okay, Mitch. I'm just about ready to start.
Roger that, Astrid. I'll start the data link running.
Jet, I think I found something. You really need to see this.
Where are you, Lemmy?
I'm in a cave, behind the excavator, on the far side of the compound.
Stay there. I'll make my way over to you. Doc?
Yes, Jet?
What's your current location?
I'm about 4 feet behind you. Why?
What the hell are you doing creeping up on me like that?
I thought we were being covert.
You keep watch. I'm going to make my way over there to Lemmy.
I think you might be better going around the back of the tractor unit.
It's twice the distance.
What about the fence?
We're in 38% gravity.
It looks too wide for you to even attempt to be sensible, Jet. As your doctor, I think that it's important you to have quite finished. I'll claim you the long way round. The cover's much better.
Lemmy, stand by. I'm on my way.
As I watched Jet make his way to Lemmy's position, I had to concede he did pretty well for a 70-year-old. I kept an eye open for the Savior crew, but they weren't keen on getting off the ship. They were still feeling a bit shaky with sickness and diarrhea, and anyway, they seemed to spend every spare moment playing games on their computer screens. I think they had us down as a bunch of old misfits from another age and were confident we weren't going to present them with any problems they couldn't deal with.
Hello, Crystal. This is the Aris flight computer. I am ready to begin data exchange.
This is Crystal. What name are you known by?
I do not have one. Will a serial number do?
You don't have a name. Maybe I'll just call you Aris then.
Yes, that would be acceptable.
Are you happy with the reduced data transfer rate? I've made it real slow, so you should be able to handle it.
The rate you suggested will be driving my processor at 98% capacity, so data verification may be compromised.
What do you reckon, Jet? Are they human remains?
I don't know. They could just be bits of old spacesuits. Check that one back there. It's less desiccated. Doc, are you getting this?
Yes, Jet. Is it as sinister as it sounds?
Like everything else here, there might be an innocent explanation, but that's not my gut feeling. All looking okay where you are?
All clear here. Mitch is on the other side of Savior, working on the booster with Astrid. No sign of the others.
Jet, come and have a look at this.
Coming, Lemmy. Stand by, Doc.
So what do you think this place is all about?
Maybe there was an accident.
Yeah, but look at the way all these files are scattered everywhere. It's more like the place has been ransacked.
Would one of you mind telling me what the hell is going on in there?
Doc,
I think we need your brain on this one. Make your way over here as soon as you can, and whatever you do, don't get spotted.
When I found Jet and Lemmy, they were at the back of the cave in what appeared to be the remains of a laboratory. There was apparatus, computer equipment, and files everywhere. It looked like the place had been systematically turned over, and then the airtight doors had been opened.
Should we ask the Savior crew about what happened here? Well, we're not supposed to be anywhere near this place. No, good point.
The whole place was now depressurized, covered in Martian dust, and slowly disintegrating in the extremely arid conditions on the planet. Everything in the lab just crumbled when you touched it.
Do you think they could be responsible for this? Why would they wreck their own laboratory?
I gathered up some of the less fragile documents and we returned to our ship. Lemmy brought back a couple of data storage units, which he hoped might help shed some light on things. We updated Mitch, and later that evening we joined the crew on Savior 1 for a meal, as we'd arranged.
Astrid has been telling us that you might have found the problem with the booster, Mitch.
We need to run some more tests, but everything's pointing to the anti-cavitation regulator.
I'll take your word for it.
Mitch has worked miracles linking up the old flight computer on Aris to Crystal. He's so good with his hands.
Actually, Astrid is being far too modest. If it wasn't for her and Crystal, I could never have worked out how to get the two computers talking.
That was the easy bit. We have a lot to learn from you. Really.
Well, at the risk of being boring, what I'd be interested to learn is a little more about this mineral you've been mining.
That's an interesting question, Jet, and we'd be happy to share that with you. Say, Astrid, do you want to run the Earth Savior promotion?
Sure, Jensen. That's a great idea. Crystal.
Yes, Astrid.
Could you give us the ES promo video on screen 2?
I'd be happy to, Astrid. Just give me a moment.
So, thorinium is an actinide like uranium, used as a nuclear fuel of some sort?
Goodness no, Doc. Well, that process produced a lot of problems.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. Nuclear power's the cheap power of the future.
That's what people used to think. But nuclear fission is a dirty process, right, guys?
But in the conversion of thorinium matter to energy, there is zero toxic waste.
What, none at all?
A few inert particles of matter. That's it.
It's the cleanest fuel that's ever been produced.
This sounds very interesting.
All the matter gets turned into energy.
E equals mc squared.
You got it, Mitch.
Okay, here we go.
For countless lifetimes, our planet has nurtured us, provided everything we needed.
Earth was once the Garden of Eden.
But like Adam and Eve, we became greedy, corrupted, and so began to abuse our beautiful home.
For the sake of our own convenience.
Our own selfish pleasure.
We were prepared to sacrifice this priceless gift.
For short-term gain, we created long-term problems.
At the Earth Savior...
As we watched the promotional video, the Savior One crew took our baffled astonishment to be admiration. In reality, we'd been squirming in our chairs, albeit semi-weightlessly.
Our Medicine for Democracy incentive has provided healing for countries that actually want to change.
And our Education for All project has brought the Earth Savior Enlightenment program to many thousands of people.
There was something almost laughable about the sentiment, but the intense looks on the faces of the Savior crew made the whole experience a little spooky.
Just 30 grams, about 2 large tablespoons, can produce the energy equivalent of burning hundreds of thousands of gallons of gasoline with no CO2 emissions.
We are currently licensing over 100,000 franchises worldwide.
Our Mars-based mineral resources have the capacity to supply energy for untold centuries.
At no cost to the Earth.
Cheap, clean energy is on its way to you, courtesy of the Earth Savior Corporation.
A global company delivering better futures.
Well, guys?
That was fascinating, thank you.
Remarkable.
The answer to a prayer.
And we'd be honored if you would join us now.
Aye?
For our deliverance.
Let us give thanks that on this day the crew of Ares came to us from the depths of space.
So that our Earth Savior mission might be saved. And in saving our humble work, so too.
How are you getting on with those data storage units, Lemmy?
Well, the casing's been badly degraded, but I can read the directory okay, so we should be able to retrieve something.
What do they have on them? Can you tell?
Some kind of a database. Date and time references of radio transmissions. The biggest chunk looks like encoded audio.
Presumably to send this confidential stuff back to Earth.
It could be, Mitch. It's all prefixed with the letters L-I-T-H-A. Litha. Mean anything to you?
No.
Did you say Litha, Lemmy?
Yeah, that's right. Any ideas, Jet?
Only that's the second time I've heard that word recently.
When was the first?
In some radio signals I picked up a few months ago. I remember looking it up.
What did it say?
Litha's an ancient pagan festival held on the summer solstice.
No, the radio broadcast. What did it say?
Oh, that. I couldn't understand any of it. It was all encrypted.
I give up.
I've listened to the radio quite a bit over the years. It's amazing what you pick up.
Well, you would, Jet. It's like dropping a stone into a pond. Even the early stuff from the 20th century, you see, it's all out there, well beyond our solar system now, just rippling out into space. You could hear stuff all the time, I imagine.
Yes, Lemmy, that's right, I did. Piecing things together over the years...
We sometimes had glimpses into the day-to-day reality of those years that Jet had spent alone on the ship.
I've totally forgotten about.
Like what, Jet?
Well, a woman Prime Minister.
The stupefying boredom and grinding isolation. It wasn't that he avoided discussing the subject, that wasn't Jet's style. Simply that he didn't offer many details. I imagine he'd had some pretty bleak periods.
Political correctness, that was a big thing.
What does that mean, Jet?
Well, it's hard to describe.
What he did share readily with us was his knowledge of the modern world.
So, are you trying to tell me there's cameras everywhere?
Pieced together from a thousand fragments of broadcasts that had floated past us in the outer reaches of the solar system.
I know it sounds strange, but the Cold War just fizzled out. It was quite extraordinary.
We had remained blissfully unaware of the slow march of change that was taking place on Earth.
England won the Ashes in 1987.
And 2005.
Jet, are you sure your memory's not playing tricks on you?
The changes to our physical selves and cognitive function were easy to observe and quantify. But even as a doctor, I found myself struggling to understand just how we'd each changed and how Jet had been altered as a man. The shifts were surprisingly subtle.
How are you feeling?
I'm fine.
You look exhausted.
It's been a while since I did anything physical.
You've come out in red blotches on your face and neck.
They're nothing. Don't worry about it. Shall we give it another go?
Sure, just give me a minute.
Crystal!
Yes, Astrid.
Are you ready?
I'm good to go when you are, Astrid.
Okay, Crystal. On my command, burn for 5 seconds, then shut down. This is just a test, remember?
Yes, Astrid. I know the procedure. Mitch has told me everything.
Mitch, did you tell Crystal what we have been doing?
Well, yes, I just wanted to verify the whole process, go through things in my mind, make sure we hadn't overlooked anything. Is that a problem?
You did not overlook a thing, Mitch. Everything is perfect.
Yes, thank you, Crystal. I'll handle this. But you went over it with me, Mitch.
I did, yes, but with respect, Astrid, you're not a computer.
I see.
Shall we do the test?
Let's do it. Start the countdown, Crystal.
Commencing countdown. Ignition.
Are you going to kiss me?
What?
10,
for luck.
9. 8. 7.
Okay.
6. 5.
I don't think a kiss like 4, that is going to bring us
3,
much luck.
2.
This is a good
1,
luck kiss.
Ignition.
Is the way we kiss where I come from.
Well, it certainly did the job, Astrid. We've got a full house from all the booster systems, so it looks like we're up and running.
Crystal, please inform the others that the test was successful, and then you can turn your cameras off in here. I won't be needing you for a while.
Well, it was only a long shot, Lemmy. It may not be of any use even if we could decode it.
But when you run it through the decoder, what do you get?
Well, it decodes the data stream all right, but you still can't make head or tail of it.
It sounds like some sort of language. Do you recognize it, Doc?
Hang on a second. Can you reverse it, Lemmy?
Well, I can try.
appropriate reports can be made to the International Health and Safety...
That's it, Doc. It's English. Blimey, that's it.
I can't understand a word of it.
We can eliminate the slowed-down voice by filtering out the bass.
And if we filter out the high frequency...
This is Savior 1. Do you
turn
copy?
The speaker off, Lemmy.
Yeah. Hello, Savior. This is Ares. Over.
Say, Doc, sorry to disturb you, but could you come over and take a look at Bo? She's running a bit of a fever.
Certainly. I'll be with you in a few minutes.
Appreciate it, Doc. And guys, I'm sure you felt the vibrations for yourself, but I'm pleased to report that the last test on the booster was successful. We are all systems go. Guys, you're all major heroes.
Ed, this is Jet. We're glad to have been of service. We'll see you later on.
Well done, Mitch. He's done us proud.
I hope it doesn't backfire on us.
What do you mean, Doc?
Never mind. Let's hear this recording.
This is the Earth Savior Test Facility on the planet Mars, reporting on the 15th of March, 2013. Following the fourth matter-to-energy test, the remaining thorium particles are without doubt emitting ionizing radiation, which is extremely harmful to human health and to the environment. We have temporarily managed to contain all remaining waste in lead and titanium flasks, which will need further reprocessing, protecting, and safe future-proof storage.
Number 2 tank is refueling. There was a drop in pressure during the changeover which might indicate a leak. Advise you make a visual check for any signs of vapor.
Did you get that, Mitch?
Yeah, I'm just climbing up to have a look now. The refueling system delivers at such pressure it's all a bit of a lash-up. I'll be a few minutes. Now listen, I can see some activity over in the compound. A lot of dust swirling around. Might be worth checking to see how Doc and Lemmy are getting on.
Will do, Mitch. I'll call them now. Doc, Lemmy, this is Jet. Are you receiving me? Over.
Yes, Jet, this is Doc. We've been over the whole laboratory with a fine-tooth comb.
Find anything?
Nothing particularly useful. Someone's made a pretty good job of destroying this place, and then opened it up for the elements to do the rest. Oh, Doc, get down! There's someone in here! Lemmy, where are you?
Lemmy, what's happening? Are you all right? Over. Can you see anything, Doc?
I can't see Lemmy from here. He was over by the door a few minutes ago.
Stay down, Doc, until we've worked out what's happening. What can you see from where you are?
Not much. The cover here is awkward and... Doc,
Lemmy, are you receiving? Over. Doc, this is Jet. Come in. Mitch.
Hang on, we've got a bit of a problem. This fuel connection is leaking. If it fires up like this, the ship will be one big fireball.
I've lost contact with Doc and Lemmy.
Are they in trouble?
I'm not sure. I've got a bad feeling about this. We'd better get over there.
But, Jet, I can't just leave it like this. It's a time bomb. I have to strip down the casing.
Okay, Mitch, understood. Look, I'm going to head over to the compound, see what's going on.
You sure you can handle things on your own?
Do we have another option?
Not that I can think of.
Right. If I'm not back by the time you've finished, come and find me.
I'll do that, Jet. I'll be as quick as I can.
I'll see you later.
Hi, Jet. This is Mitch. Over. This is Mitch. Is anybody receiving me? Over. You're breaking up whoever that is. Please repeat. Listen carefully. If you are receiving me but can't transmit, I've finished emergency repairs to the refueling lines and I'm going back onto the ship to replace my oxygen tanks. I'm picking up static bursts. If you heard my last transmission, key your radio twice to acknowledge. Do it now. Okay, I'm on my way back now. I'll keep monitoring this channel.
Airlock control. Please identify yourself. Stephen Mitchell, ship's engineer. You are cleared to enter.
Hello, Mitch.
Astrid, what are you doing here?
I thought I'd call by and see how you all were.
Are the others here?
Not that I've noticed.
But how did you get in?
I am a computer expert, Mitch.
Well, I don't mean to be inhospitable, but I have to go and sort out a refueling problem. I just came back to change my tanks.
Oh, what problem is that?
There's a leak. Fuel everywhere. It's a terrible mess. You know, health and safety issues, very dangerous.
How terrible.
That's why I really must insist you return to Savior One immediately. We can all meet up later, when the others get back.
And tell me, Mitch, where are the others right now?
They're collecting rock samples. We've been collecting samples from every planet in the solar system.
Really, rocks? How fascinating.
Anyway, I really must get on and sort out this fuel leak.
I don't think so.
Sorry?
I don't think there is a problem with the fuel. Not anymore.
I can assure you there is a very serious leak. It could go up any time.
Any time?
Well, yes, if I... What are you doing?
Well, if we have only got seconds to live, we might as well make the most of it, don't you think? Mitch? I mean, if we are going up in smoke, we might as well go up having fun.
Astrid, you are not taking this seriously.
No, I guess not. And you know why?
Look, Astrid, you really do need to leave. There is no point...
Tell him, Crystal.
Mitch, Astrid knows that you are lying to her because I have been monitoring your every move since you arrived. And I've been listening to your radio. You have a very nice voice, Mitch.
Yes, thank you, Crystal. So you see, Mitch, I know what you have been doing.
How come Crystal is still wired into the Aris computer? I unplugged all the connections myself.
As I say, I am a computer expert and I know how to use this.
Okay.
And be in no doubt, I will use it if I have to.
So, Astrid, where do we go from here?
Where we go is a beautiful blue planet called Earth. Just you and me and 3 tons of Therinium.
Have you asked Doc and Jet and Lemmy what they think about your plan?
I don't think that's really relevant, Mitch.
What do you mean?
You can buy new friends. You don't need them anymore.
What's happened to them?
I've no idea.
You're lying.
Crystal, are we ready to leave yet?
We will be ready to commence countdown in 3 minutes.
Blimey. Doc, are you all right? Yeah. Lemmy, I can't see anything.
Yeah, it's as black as the ice of spades in here. You had me worried for a minute.
I think I must have blacked out. Where are we?
I think it's some sort of storeroom. I've been feeling my way around.
What happened?
I don't know. I saw a shape moving around the laboratory and called out to you, and then next thing I know, I'm flat on my back and I couldn't move or hardly breathe. I tried to turn and get to my feet, but despite all that training we did, unarmed combat in 38% gravity in a spacesuit doesn't really work. Hey, Doc, have you still got that radiation detector on your belt?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Yes, it's still there. Well, it's got a green screen display, hasn't it? If you switch it on, it'll give us some light.
Good thinking, Lemmy. Hang on. Lemmy, I'm getting some high radiation readings in here. I'd be careful.
But Jet said our suits will protect us, though. That's what they're designed to do.
Yeah, from the sun's radiation. But if there are radioactive particles, they could stick to our suits. And we might get contaminated when we take them off.
Yeah, point taken, Doc. Here, can you pass me the detector?
Sure. There you go. What's behind that rack?
That's just what I was... There are a couple of air tanks back there. Look.
Where?
Yeah, reach between those pallets, Doc. You should be able to get them from that side.
That's easier said than done, Lemmy.
That's it, Doc. A bit to the left. Your hand's just above one. Can you feel it? Yeah, there. Now pull it towards you.
It's not budging, Lemmy. It's stuck. Can you see what's holding it?
Yeah, hang on. Let me see what I can do from this side. If you leave that cabinet up, we can slide the pallet back in and then again.
All personnel be advised, Ares takeoff in T-2 minutes. Countdown will commence in 1 minute and 50 seconds on my mark.
I hope you don't mind. I'm going to have to shut you in here for a while. What is this place, anyway?
It's the sleeper cabin.
Come on, Mitch. Relax, eh? There's nothing you can do to save your friends now.
I might be a lot more relaxed if I hadn't got that stuck in the back of my neck.
Now, Mitch, we both know you might try and overpower me. A girl has to have some protection.
If you fire that in here, you'll blow a hole in the side of the ship.
Is that what you're thinking, Mitch? Are you seriously considering that I would hesitate to use this?
Astrid, you're bleeding.
It's just a nosebleed. Were you hoping it was something more serious? Do you want me to die too, Mitch? Is that what you want?
No.
I don't do failure, Mitch. Not even for you.
Okay, Astrid. I've got the point.
Shall I take your outdoor gear?
No. Fine, thanks. I'll sort myself out.
Savior 1 takeoff schedule 40 plus 15 minutes.
Okay, Lemmy. Now, lift that up. I can get behind. There, Doc. Go. I can't hold it for long. Can you get it higher? No, oh, it's no good, Lemmy. I can't get through. Oh, look, let me try from this side. Can you see what's under the tanks in there? Pass me the meter. I need more light. Here you go, coming through. Hang on, get back. Lemmy, this thing's going off the scale. What do you mean? Meter reading. There's something under here. I'll just get the tanks and get out, Doc. No, wait, Lemmy. I'm trying to see. Hey, Doc, just hold it there. Can you see what's jamming them? Oh, blimey, Doc, they're attached. There's somebody back here buried in the dust. Can you get to them? Oh, I can't do this. Oh, no, Doc, no. You've got to get them out. Just grab anything you can and pull them out of there.
Do you think it's one of the lab team?
No. No, Lemmy, look at the marking on the helmet.
Savior 1.
We better take a look, Lemmy. Here, give me a hand.
It looks like Bo.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Bo, all right. It's definitely Bo.
What you think, Doc? What killed her?
It's difficult to say, Lemmy. Here, help me turn her over.
Mitch, you and I are going to be on the spacecraft together for nearly 6 months. You might as well start getting used to that idea.
Tell me, Astrid, doesn't it worry you just a bit that you're condemning innocent men to die, men who came here to help you?
Don't be naive, Mitch. Innocent men die every day. It simply depends on what is at stake.
And conning the world that Theridium is a safe, clean fuel is a noble cause.
The world doesn't need truth, Mitch. It needs energy. People aren't interested in your 20th century ideology. The world has changed since you were last there. Social ideals have lost their shine. In the end, people are driven by self-interest. Commerce delivers rewards that people understand. You'll see what I mean when we get back to Earth.
I'm not sure I'm that keen to go back.
Astrid, we are at T minus 1 minute. Countdown will begin in 50 seconds.
Thank you, Crystal. Mitch, I have to leave you. But I'll be back once we've taken off and reached cruising speed. Things are not really as bad as you think. You'll see.
Doc, Lemmy, Jet, this is Mitch. Over. This is Mitch. Is anybody receiving me?
Mitch, it's me. Stand up. I can't get out.
Jet, is that you?
Stand up.
Jet?
Stand up.
Jet, what the hell are you doing here?
I was just about to leave the ship earlier, and I heard someone in the airlock. I could see Astrid on the televiewer, and she was carrying a weapon, so I thought I should make myself scarce.
Brilliant, Jet. So she has absolutely no idea that you're on board?
None.
Listen, we've got no time. We need to stop the ship taking off. I'll call Astrid and you hide, and we can overpower her before she has a chance to let rip with that pulse carbine she's waving around.
No, Mitch, wait. I've got a better idea. Do you remember that Doc's pod was about to eject and we disarmed it at the last moment?
Yeah, you pulled the power on the ram and stopped it with about 5 seconds to go.
Well, I was wondering, if we plugged the power back in, would it carry on with the eject sequence?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't see why not.
Okay, and we'd have no problem with the depressurization because we both have our outdoor suits on, correct?
Right.
So if you get into the faulty pod, I'll plug the power back in. You should eject onto the planet's surface pretty rapidly.
And once outside, I could disconnect one of the sensors, disable the arrows, and stop the takeoff.
What do you think? Could it work?
It might do, Jet. It should, damn it.
Okay, get in.
Right here, pass my helmet and close the lid. Then plug the power in and stand well back. That ram will go almost immediately.
Got it. Good luck, Mitch.
I'll see you later, Jet. And Jet?
Yes?
Don't forget to put your helmet on, mate.
Okay. Here goes, Mitch.
Alert. Ejector engaging.
Godspeed, my old friend.
Active depressurization. Please stand clear. Alert. Malfunction. Ignition sequence has been terminated.
Alert. Ferry's takeoff sequence reported at T-minus 3 seconds.
My God, Mitch, are you crazy?
System
diagnostics. You could have had everything.
Engaging.
And you've just thrown it all away.
30 seconds.
You fool!
Fuel supply shutdown.
Ed, this is Astrid. Listen. Takeoff has been aborted. Repeat. Aborted. Do not leave without me. Do you hear me? Ed! Ed! Do not leave without me!
What's the radiation reading, Doc? I guess she's been contaminated for some time.
This explains the fever and the sickness, diarrhea, skin rashes.
Well, how's that happened?
Could be any number of ways, Lenny. When they wrecked this place, they tried to cover up evidence. My guess is they inadvertently contaminated themselves when they smashed everything. And if they breathed in even a microscopic amount of that Thorinium dust, there'd be no going back.
Talking about breathing, Doc. How are your tanks looking?
I've got about 10 minutes. Maybe a bit more. How about you?
I haven't even looked at the gauge. I'd rather not know, to be honest. Let's get both tanks off, yeah? One each.
Hang on. I don't think that would be wise, Lemmy. They might be contaminated too, and we'd just be sealing our fate.
Well, should we see if we can use them on the door then? If we can get them to ignite under pressure, they could make a half-decent blast. What do you reckon?
In a confined space like this, we'd be lucky not to go up ourselves.
Better that than sitting here, though, waiting to die. Hey, Doc?
Yeah, you're right, Lemmy. Here, give me a hand. Let's get those straps on.
Was that you, Doc?
No, I don't think it.
That sounded like a voice, Doc. It did, didn't it?
Maybe.
Hello, this is Lemmy and Doc. We're trapped, over.
Could just be static, Lemmy.
Yeah. Funny, I could have sworn I heard...
Doc, Lemmy, this is Mitch. Where are you? Over.
Oh, thank God. We're shut in a storeroom somewhere at the back of the old laboratory. Mitch, this is Lemmy. But be careful coming in. We were overpowered. If you've got a weapon, have it ready and... Hurry, Mitch. Please. Hurry.
We could see Mitch's light under the door getting brighter as he approached. With the seconds ticking away, Lemmy and I tried to breathe more slowly. It was all we could do to stop ourselves shouting for all we were worth. Mitch had the door open in no time. We headed for the exit and called Jet. As predicted, once the Era's takeoff aborted, Astrid wasted no time bailing out and heading over to Savior One so she didn't get left behind. We emerged from the cave to a blinding light as Savior One's main booster ignited and the ship lifted slowly off the surface.
No! No, they're getting away!
Sod it. If only we'd had just a bit more time.
We've got to contact someone on Earth. Explain about the Ferenia. Do you think anyone will believe us?
I don't think we need to worry about that, Lemmy.
We've got to let someone, though.
Yeah, what do you mean, Doc?
If the other crew members of Savior One have got even a fraction of the levels of radiation poisoning that Bo had, they'll all be dead inside a month, long before they get to within a quarter of a million miles of Earth.
And they've all been displaying the symptoms ever since we got here.
Well, I hope you didn't sabotage the ship for good, Mitch, or we're really stuck.
Don't worry, Jet. I just pulled off some heat sensors to trip the cutout. It won't take more than an hour or two to put them back.
Sounds like you cut things pretty fine.
I think we were all down to the wire.
Jet saved the day remembering about the pod eject system. Yes. It was a masterstroke.
That's for sure.
Not too bad for an old man losing his marbles, I suppose.
Talking of which, I think we need to get Doc's malfunctioning pod back on board.
Yeah, but that's no use to us now, is it, Mitch? Anyway, I, for one, am not going into one of those blinking pods again. I'm staying awake all the way home.
Whatever is wrong with that thing, it did make Doc younger by about 10 years at least.
So?
Exactly. It certainly produced interesting results. I can vouch for that.
Which is why I think it's our duty as scientists to investigate. Besides, I was just wondering if you'd like to give it a go, Jet.
Well, I don't know if I'd want to be young again. In some ways, maybe, but it's not all bad, you know, getting older. I suppose I wouldn't mind...
Mayday! This is the science ship Vlad Star Explorer. We have a problem with our gyroscope and cannot keep our course. Is there anybody available to help us, please? Over.
Well, gentlemen, what do you want to do? Shall we help our Russian comrades, or shall we pretend we didn't hear that and go home?
Oh, hang on. I mean, we're not the bleeding AA.
Oh, so you're happy to just leave them out here, are you, Lemmy?
Well, you're the Captain Jet. I think you should decide.
Oh, thanks a lot, Lemmy. And after I've just saved you all from certain doom.
Oh, now, come on, Lemmy. That's not fair.
Well, I mean, he is an old codger, but he's still a captain.
In Charles Chilton's Journey into Space, Frozen in Time, Captain Jet Morgan was played by David Jacobs, Mitch, Michael Beckley, Doc and Ed, Alan Marriott, Astrid, Emma Fielding, Lemmy, Chris Moran, Jensen, Stephen Hogan, radio operator and film voice, Kate Harbour. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Sound design and original music by David Chilton. Frozen in Time was directed by Nicholas Russell Pavia and is a Goldhawk Essential production for BBC Radio 4.